Good morning, RVA. It's 58 degrees and today looks lovely. Expect highs in the mid-80s, some sunshine, and a further break in the humidity. You can expect an absolutely enjoyable Friday, so make sure you get out there and enjoy it. The A-plus weather, with some rain tomorrow, continues through the weekend, but then things heat up in an unpleasant way on Monday. Water cooler. As of last night and for the next week, the COVID-19 community level remains high for Richmond, Henrico, and Chesterfield. The 7-day average of case rates per 100,000 people in each locality are 270, 260, and 247, respectively. This means that the CDC guidance continues to recommend that everyone, regardless of vaccination status, wear masks in indoor public places. Our current corona moment is all about riding the waves, and this particular wave sure looks like a weeks-long extended plateau. I haven't seen much reporting on how the proposed but still in limbo state budget impacts Richmond Public Schools, but Kids First RPS has a quick write-up from earlier this week, and yikes, it is not looking good. From the piece, quote, "The state's budget means that the district is getting $3.1 million less than what the administration had expected, and with a mandate to give teachers $2.2 million in one-time bonuses, which wasn't in RPS's budget, that means we now have an additional $5.3 million gap in our school's budget for next year. The answer to this complicated math problem? RPS kids are short by more than $12 million. First, RPS's school board, despite pleas from City Council, didn't even request the full budget amount suggested by the superintendent, which, in retrospect, seems like an unforced error that's going to have compounding consequences. Second, I think there are a couple ways out of this $12 million hole that don't involve slashing support for Richmond's kids, but they'll all require the school board, City Council, and the mayor to get on the same page. Possible, but probably exhausting. Eric Kolnick at the Richmond Times-Dispatch reports on the announcement of the Richmond Health Equity Fund's first funding recipients. Full disclosure, I work on the Health Equity Fund as a small part of my day job and think it's pretty rad. Crossover Healthcare Ministries, No Left Turns, and Richmond Behavioral Health Authority received a combined $230,000 from the fund to do a bunch of work, COVID and otherwise, to address public health disparities and keep our communities healthy. I think the Health Equity Fund is a great example of using the influx of one-time federal corona money to stand up something that can create sustainable change in our city. Nominations for future projects and programs open on June 16th. Richmond Magazine's Eileen Mellon reports that today and tomorrow you can stop by a handful of local spots and grab some Yaupon tea. Quote, Perk, Stir Crazy Cafe, Sub Rosa Bakery, and Blanchard's Coffee on Moore Street will be serving non-alcoholic takes on the buzzy beverage, while Fuzzy Cactus, Laura Lee's, The Jasper, and Poe's Pub plan to offer spiked versions, with each competing for the title of Best Iced Tea and Cocktail. I am not so secretly obsessed with Yaupon because it is North America's only native caffeinated plant and one that's native to our area, too. I have summer daydreams of planting a Yaupon in my backyard and making my own tea as insurance against any impending apocalypse. If you can make morning drink, you are definitely a valuable member of the post-apocalyptic society. If instead, like a normal person, you'd like to buy some Yaupon for yourself, head over to Project Community's website and place an order or find them at a farmer's market near you. Via the RVA subreddit, a plant identification question that pointed me to this absolutely wonderful Instagram post by @blackforager about how to cook and eat pokeweed, which is poisonous. I have some pokeweed coming up in a bed full of zinnias that are on my list to pull up this weekend, and now that I've watched this video, I am still going to pull the pokeweed up, but I will certainly be more thoughtful while doing so. This morning's long read is titled The Queen Conch's Gambit. Want to read a long piece about conchs? It's Friday, so yes, I think you totally do. Here's an excerpt. That first hatchery, its lab a glorified shed with a windmill, was part of a utopian vision of a Navy nuclear engineer turned philosopher biologist named Chuck Hess. Before commercial tourism took off in Turks and Caicos, he saw the islands as a model biosphere for ocean conservation, alternative energy, and aquaculture. In her 2 years running the outpost from 1981 to 1983, Davis proved that under the right conditions, queen conchs will undergo their metamorphosis from pearly eggs to swimming villagers to shelled infants in the lab. Once they're tiny sea snails with 4-millimeter-long shells, they can be moved to an outdoor nursery where they take another year to grow into finger-long conchs. Bulking into breeding-age queens can take 3 years longer or more. If you'd like your long read to show up here, go chip in a couple of bucks on the old Patreon. That's patreon.com/GMRVA. This morning's picture of the day is a picture of a pink paloma at my favorite metal bar. Intro and outro music by Matt Fisher, and you can find links to all these stories and more in the show notes or on gmrva.com.